Good afternoon, everyone, and a special welcome to members of the Turkish delegation and Turkish media who are here this afternoon. I should say to New Zealand media, I will have my normal press conference later in the afternoon, not straight after this press conference with Prime Minister Erdogan. It's been a great pleasure for me to welcome the Prime Minister and his delegation to New Zealand. I'm very conscious that for many years Turkey has been such a generous host to us, our official delegations, our visitors, and from time to time we get an opportunity like this to welcome a very high level Turkish delegation. I believe this is the first time we've had a Turkish Prime Minister come to New Zealand. We have welcomed a President in the past and a number of ministers, and we hope to see more such visitors in the future. Today we've had wide-ranging discussions picking up on where the Prime Minister and I left things in Ankara when I visited in April. On the international scene, Turkey and New Zealand find themselves remarkably like-minded on issues around the Middle East region. Both Turkey and New Zealand contribute to the peacekeeping and peace-building operation in Afghanistan, for example. We've taken a similar approach to issues in Iraq and to working for comprehensive and lasting peace settlement between Israel and the Palestinians. I've been particularly interested in the work which Turkey has been promoting with Spain and then successfully through the United Nations on an alliance of civilisations in an endeavour to encourage a greater discussion across cultural and faith boundaries and to try and address some of the underlying tensions in the world today. I've briefed the Prime Minister on some of the dialogue going on in our own region of the Asia Pacific, where we, of course, are also on the intersection of many cultural and religious boundaries, and this is something I'd like to see us follow through with Turkey in the future. New Zealand is very supportive of Turkey's bid to accede to the European Union, and we've expressed our delight at the European Union's agreement to begin negotiations with Turkey on accession, and we wish Turkey well for that process. On the bilateral relationship, I've long been of the view that the economic relationship between New Zealand and Turkey is well below its potential. And partly that relates to the fact that New Zealand is a large agricultural exporter and tariffs going into the Turkish market are rather high. However, there are many opportunities for us in areas of services and technology. And on this visit, the Prime Minister will have the opportunity to see for himself some of New Zealand's agri-technology and services and also some of the work we're able to do around earthquake, seismic engineering, natural hazards engineering and preparation. In order to encourage two-way investment between the two countries, New Zealand has agreed that next year we will begin negotiations with Turkey on a double tax agreement. In order to encourage more flow of young people to spend longer time in each other's countries, we are going to embark on a working holiday scheme negotiation with Turkey also. The Prime Minister has expressed an interest in knowing more about what New Zealand offers by way of international education. We've had a long discussion on that in our cabinet room this afternoon, and we think there's room to explore that more at the highest level as well. With respect to other issues, Turkey was kind enough to support New Zealand's candidate for the International Court of Justice position voted on at the General Assembly in New York several weeks ago, and New Zealand is reciprocating with gratitude that support and supporting Turkey's candidature for membership of the Security Council in 2009-10. We do have strong parliamentary groups interested in the relationship. I've always been impressed on the three occasions I have visited Ankara at the level of interest in New Zealand in the Turkish Parliament, and we hope to be exchanging delegations again in the not too distant future. So I'm very pleased, Prime Minister, that you've made time in what is a very, very busy life for running a very large country, 20 times the size of New Zealand, to come all this way to visit us and build on the many things we have in common. Not only shared heritage at Gallipoli, which is what most people associate with the relationship between our countries, but also looking forward to the potential to do a lot more in all aspects of the relationship. And we look forward to working with you and your government on that. Thank you.
Mrs. Prime Minister, distinguished members of the press, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to first of all thank Right Honourable Helen Clark for the hospitality that she has shown us ever since our arrival in New Zealand. Thank you very much for the hospitality, both to myself and to the delegation. And because I'm the first Prime Minister coming to New Zealand from Turkey, I'm very happy, in fact, to be in that position as the first Prime Minister visiting here. I believe it was 1991 that late President Özal visited here as President. And since then, there has not been any high-level visit from Turkey to New Zealand. Ministers have come. They have visited New Zealand. And Mrs. Clark came in 2000, 2005. And in her most recent visit in 2005, we were together at the Anzac Day, Anzac events, and we also met in Ankara for our official meetings. And this is a visit in return, if you will, for that visit she paid us this year. And we are here with a delegation. And of course, the distance between Turkey and New Zealand, geographically speaking, is quite far. There is a lot of distance, but nevertheless, we think that distances are not so important. We think that it's the feelings of friendship which are important, because they are much more important than the physical distance. And I think that we have a close, friendly relationship. And there are many things we can do, both in the area of trade and also in culture, in education, other areas. We were able to see, actually, the potential that exists in the meetings we held today. And we will be taking these steps forward. And between, if you look at our relations between 2003 and 2004, we see that there has been a 40% increase in our trade. In 2005, as of the end of the ninth month, we see that we have been able to catch up the figures of 2004. In other words, another 40% increase in the first 9 months this time. So it seems that our trade will be moving up, and it will get better and grow and grow. But is this enough? No. Because New Zealand has a trade volume of around 42, 43 billion, and Turkey has approximately a trade volume of about $190 billion. So given the trade volume of the two countries, we must definitely develop the bilateral trade between our two countries to reflect that potential. There are things we can buy and sell to and from New Zealand, and I think that it will be very beneficial for the both countries to develop that relationship swiftly. And we will look at what we can do, and we do look at what we can do in various areas, and various areas of cooperation may include tourism, agriculture, forestry, environment. There are many areas, such as education, where I am sure and I know that there are opportunities, and there are many things that we can do. And we have had an opportunity today to discuss these points. And the moment I go back to Ankara, we will be talking about this with all the relevant ministers here, and I will ask the ministers to talk to their counterparts here so that these ideas can flourish. In addition, of course, to the current relationship, as you know, we have a historical relationship as well, which goes back to to Gallipoli. But our friendship, I think, is unique in the sense that it has its roots in a war. And this is quite rare in history. Perhaps it's the first time that two countries have developed a friendly relationship, a relationship which emerged at the battlefield 90 years ago. So there are very few countries in the world who have this kind of a relationship. And in Gallipoli, we have the sons of New Zealand lying there, and we have built those monuments in their honor. And there's a meaning to all of this. We have three ministers who were fully engaged and who are fully engaged to preserve the Gallipoli Peninsula with being loyal to historical facts. And this is what they're trying to do as we speak. And as they work on this project, the aim is to remember 1915 today, but it is also to take this heritage forward to future generations. In other words, we don't want wars to provoke more hostilities, more hatred. We must be able to show to the people that friendships can also be built on such memories, albeit they are perhaps full of grief at the time they were lived. So what we are trying to do is to ensure that the relationship develop into future. So it is not just the cemetery or the castles there. It is more than that. What is in Gallipoli is more than that. And the museum in Gallipoli will also be an important way of presenting to future generations what happened in Gallipoli and how that has affected our relations. And we have put in every effort, and we will continue to put in every support to ensure that Gallipoli develops in this way. Another important point here is the following. This is an important issue not just for New Zealand and for Australia, but as we started working on Gallipoli, it was also an important topic for the Turks as well, because Turkish people are visiting Gallipoli now, ever since Gallipoli has become a center of attraction, if you will. And there is investments, tourism investments, hotel investments, because when people come, they don't want to just come and leave immediately. They want to stay at least for a few nights and visit the area. And if they want to stay there, we must be able to provide them with the infrastructure as well as with various other projects which will provide more information. We view this as an important cultural step and also a step that is important for tourism. And I also told my colleague earlier that in this area of tourism and culture, we are very much interested in developing package tours, trips to Turkey. So those who come from New Zealand to Turkey for the Anzac ceremonies, it can come not just to Gallipoli, but they can also, while they're there, visit other parts of Turkey, for example. They can go to Ephesus, they can go to Cappadocia, or they can even go to further east, to Mardin and to other places. This is all important so that people of the two countries get to know each other better. Tourism would be an important tool in that sense, and I think that such an effort would contribute greatly to peace in general. Another important step is, of course, our international cooperation. For example, as you know, Turkey is a candidate for temporary membership to the UN Security Council for 2009 and 10, and that decision will be taken in 2008. And when I spoke to my colleague yesterday, she was very kind and to lend us her support. I thank her very much for the support that she lends us on this point. And let me also take this opportunity to congratulate you on the election of your representative to the Court of Justice. And we had supported New Zealand, and we're very happy that the candidate from New Zealand is elected to that position. We also have, of course, a lot of cooperation in other areas, the OECD, the UN, and we share common views, as has been expressed by the Prime Minister earlier, such as in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. So we share many views, and our hope is that there will be improvements in Afghanistan, there will be improvements in Iraq. Yesterday there were some meetings held in Istanbul and about Iraq, and those meetings went well, and we are very hopeful that there will be developments, positive developments in the future, and let's hope that the announcement statements made to the press yesterday will come to being. And with the elections to be held in Iraq in December, on December 15th, Iraq will have gone one step further in its this process of democratization. With the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, we believe that it's important to push the roadmap forward so that there is no more bloodshed and tears in Israel and in Palestine, and we hope that there will be comprehensive lasting peace in that area of the world. I would like to, on behalf of myself and my delegation, once again express my thanks to the Prime Minister for the hospitality, the warmth that they have shown to us, and I hope that this visit will be important for further developing relations. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Could I perhaps invite a question first from Turkish media? Yes.
Cumhuriyetine ilişkin bir soru sormak istiyorum.
I'd like to ask a question about Cyprus. The Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus supported the Annan Plan. Nevertheless, the Turkish Cypriots are still isolated. Are you in any effort to overcome this isolation of the Turkish Cypriots?
You've been very supportive of the Secretary General made to try to resolve the Cyprus issue. And we're disappointed that the referendum on the Secretary-General's plan failed. We're aware that it passed in Turkish Cyprus, but not in the other part of Cyprus. We hope that the Secretary-General will feel able at some point to pick up the initiative again, and certainly we would be encouraging him to that end. Kiwi Media.
Excuse me.
Prime Minister, did you discuss today the arrangements on the Gallipoli Peninsula and what sort of things New Zealand is looking for? I'm thinking back to the controversy last year about the bulldozing of the road and so on and the crowds that occur there.
We haven't particularly focused on that today because I visited Ankara after the Gallipoli commemoration last year, and we had a long discussion then, and the Prime Minister of Turkey was kind enough at that time to invite New Zealand to nominate a representative to participate in a joint historical survey with Turkey and with Australia on sites of significance in the peninsula. We are well aware that Turkey is under very great pressure of significant numbers of visitors, particularly at critical points around the timing of the Anzac commemorations. So it's a difficult balance between heritage sites and trying to move large numbers of people safely. But I'm satisfied that where we left it in Ankara in April, we reached a good understanding about the way ahead. And for our part, we recognise Gallipoli is part of Turkey. It's Turkish territory. Turkey, in the end, will make the decisions. But it has indicated a willingness to reach out and be inclusive of others who also have an historical interest in the area.
Let me say something on this point. I would like to say to you and to all who listen to this first conference that it is important for everyone to understand and to believe that we respect history and we respect those who lie there, all people who lie there. What we are trying to do is to respect historical facts, to own them, and we want to make sure that they are preserved for the future in the best way possible. This is what we are trying to do. And you may be hearing many things about Gallipoli, but do not believe everything you hear. We are very sensitive. We are very keen on making sure that we're able to move people when they come. Because imagine, when the Anzac celebrations or the ceremony takes place, 20,000, 25,000, maybe in the future 30,000 will be there at the same time, and those roads are only a meter wide, and of course imagine what would happen if all these people came all at once to these areas, what the kinds of accidents, the other things that can happen. These are the kinds of things that we have been paying attention to, and we are taking the necessary steps to make sure that they can come in safely. We do not mean to in any way destroy the graves there. This is not our intention. You can rest assured that this is not what we are doing. This is not what we ever thought of doing. What we're trying to do is to make sure that we can move the people around safely. And we believe in the importance of civilizations, and the Gallipoli Peninsula is important for us in that context as well. So you can rest assured that everything that is necessary will be done in Gallipoli. In your discussions, did you discuss international terrorism, combating international terrorism, and is there any idea or agreement on sharing intelligence on this point between the two countries? Who do you direct your question to? Yes, we did talk about international terrorism, as you know. Turkey has, for the last 30 years, suffered from terrorism. It's been an important concern for us, and if everywhere we go in the world, terrorism makes up an important part of our agenda. And this is especially true because Turkey itself has gone through this problem for many years. We've suffered because of terrorism, and we believe that it's important to establish an international platform to combat terrorism. This was something we had discussed with the Prime Minister before, and we must, of course, have cooperation. Intelligence cooperation is included in this. New Zealand may not have any problems with terrorism today, but no one can guarantee that that's going to be the case in the future. Every one of us must be prepared. We must all be ready, and we must share intelligence so that such dangers and threats do not emerge. 30 years ago, we didn't think or consider this phenomenon of terrorism, but it came about. And even in the land of freedoms, in the U.S., United States, nobody thought that terrorism would hit. And on September the 11th, it did. And so, we've all witnessed the difference that it has made in America before and after 9/11. And even when you breathe, you may be causing suspicion. So everybody is worried about it. And Spain, and other countries who said or who thought that that threat had ended were faced with new attacks. This happened in the UK, it happened in Spain, and so what we say is that terrorism does not recognize any religion, homeland, ethnicity, etc. So you can't say that these people from this religion are terrorists and others are not, or you can't make such classifications. If you look at all the actors in the world, we see of terrorism, we see that there are many who believe in different faiths. There are atheists. There are all sorts of people who engage in terrorist acts. We don't know where, when, and how terrorism and terrorists will hit. So we must have solidarity, and all leaders in the world must have solidarity with one another so that we can work jointly to combat terrorism. We have to do this, and we have discussed it with my colleague today. We agree on these points.
Any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.